Proverbs 4, verse 20. Once again, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. That's not only the physical ear, but that's the ear of your spirit. Verse 21, let them sayings, those words and those sayings, not depart from thine eyes. Well, it's pretty easy to keep the word before your eyes when you're in church every night for 30 days. And then you come to four services on Sunday, 34 services in a month. You ought to be able to be obedient to this, church. But what are you going to do come July 1st? You're going to have to keep it up before your eyes, glory to God. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them. That's those words and those sayings in the midst of thine heart. There's only one way you're going to do that, is to be doers of the word that you hear. Because if you don't do it, then it's not going to stay in the midst of your heart. That's just plain and simple. I mean, if the Bible says the just shall live by faith, you just as well start doing it. You just as well start living by faith, glory to God, and doing what the Bible says to obtain faith and to grow in faith. And you're doing part of that right now, glory to God. Verse 22, for they are life, they want, they the words, they the sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, for they are life. But I say life.
Life.
That's the nature of the living God. If we find these words, God's very nature is going to be ministered into us, into our spirit, our soulish realm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, our physical bodies. For they are life, those words. I tell you what, people have these things around their house. They've got them in bookcases. They've got them under the bed. They got them on the bedstand. They got them collecting dust. And very few people realize that thing, if they would just pick it up and meditate in it and start saying it and get it into their heart, will minister life to them. This is the only book that has ever been said, according to Hebrews 4:12, the word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the only book that makes that proclamation that it's alive, that it's living. Quick means it's a living thing. The word is living. The word is breathing, and it breathes out God's power and God's love. For they are life unto those that find them, are the words and sayings, and health. Everybody say health. Some marginal rendering say in medicine. Everybody say medicine. These words and these sayings are medicine to all our flesh. Everybody say medicine again.
Medicine.
Amen. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Everybody say health.
Health.
Everybody say medicine.
Medicine.
So then we went over to John the 14th chapter verse 10. In the Greek translation, the literal Greek, and it says, the words that I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do, I doeth not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me doeth them. So Jesus is just pronouncing that anything God wanted to show you about, he just had Jesus do it. Whatever we saw Jesus do, then that was just that God doing it. And whenever God wanted something spoken into the earth, then he just said it to Jesus and Jesus repeated it. So whatever I can find Jesus saying about topics such as healing, I can just know that that's exactly what God says about it. And then God said in Hebrews the first chapter, verse 2, by the anointed one Paul, he said, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So when God wanted to say something, God said it through the mouth of Jesus. So we started out the first day of June, and we just went through the sayings of Jesus as they were held in context to healings that were taking place. We started at the beginning of Matthew, and we made it through Matthew. And then we went into Luke, and we're going to finish up Luke, I think, tonight. And I don't know where we're going to go tomorrow night, glory to God. I've still got those two sermons ready for the book of Acts, but I haven't gotten to preach them, and I don't know if I will. Whatever the Lord wants. Go with me, if you would, please, to Luke 22 tonight. Luke 22, verse 47. Now, this is going to be a strange one for you tonight, but I was just going through because I wanted to look at the next healing and see if this is what the Lord wanted me to deal with, and it was. Verse 47, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas," everybody say Judas, I just want to make sure you're still with me, "was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." Those are the kind of disciples you'd like to have around you, glory to God. "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear," but say right ear. I tell you, the guy was missing an ear. But Jesus is such a lovely man. "And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him." His ear, I don't know if his ear just, a new ear grew, or if he picked up the ear and put the ear back on and it was healed. I don't really care. The man didn't have an ear, then he had an ear. Wow. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody say, thank God for Peter. Because in John 18:10, I'll just give this for Bible study purposes, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." And then God wanted us to know this, and the servant's name was Malchus. And so, you know, that's important because John tells us who cut off the ear and then tells us the name of the guy for historical record, guy's name. That way, if anybody runs into Malchus in heaven, because I'm sure this made an impact on him, and the reason his name made it in the Bible is he started serving God and started loving Jesus from that point on because he didn't have to go through life without an ear. But when we get to heaven, we're going to run into Malchus. I'm almost assured of it. And we're going to go up to him and say, "I remember Pastor David spoke about you on June 23rd, on the 23rd night of the Healing 101 series." And you'll say, "You're the one. Glory to God." And you'll give him a high five, and you'll ask to check out his glorified ear. Amen. Amen. So I don't want you to get to heaven not knowing who Malchus is. And when you're playing Bible trivia, you'll know now. Glory to God. The Lord's good. Now, this is a wonderful setting. You'd think that this would be a great place for faith, but it's not, because Matthew 26:56 says, "Then all the disciples fled away." They all split and just left Jesus hanging there. Luke 22:50. I don't know why I gave you all that information. I just did because someday you're going to need it for Bible trivia, I'm sure. "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." What was his name? Yeah, see, you're going to get to heaven and say, "I heard of you." "And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him." Jesus will put something there that's not there. Jesus is the kind of person that makes things exist when there's nothing. Are you listening? I mean, Jesus is wild. And he'll be wild for us. We were praying this morning. I just got to tell you this. We were praying this morning. Well, really, I just ended up worshiping God for 40 minutes. I just worshiped God. Worshiped him being the healer. And the Lord just started telling me. He told me something really wild, and I'm going to share it with you because I feel impressed to share it with you. The Lord told me, glory be unto God, that when we desire to receive from him as much as he desires to give to us, then we'll start getting what we want. Now you just think about that. God desires to do for us so much, and these little, "Well, you know, I would like my healing. I just thank you for my healing." When you really desire it as much as he desires to bless you with it, glory to God, then he's going to slap you upside the head with it, glory to God. And I just sitting there worshiping him, and I started getting a bit of his heart. John G. Lake talked about that heartfelt desire, glory to God. No, the one that came from the depths of the Spirit. John G. Lake said it was the quickest one to get answered. Woo! I said, woo. My goodness. Now, let's look on. Just wanted to share that with you. Verse 52, then Jesus said, okay, so you know what that means? Oh, my Lord, when your desire to get your needs met equals his desire to meet it, then your need will be abolished. Now, how do you know that your desire is equal to his desire? Well, you're going to have to get in the Word and just like all day long spew out the Word of the living God. Because if you really desire something, you're going to go out of your way to nurture that thing on the inside of you and take care of that thing. People who love babies and people who desired babies and got the babies that they desired, they took care of that little baby. I mean, they wiped off its little chin, its little drizzle. They took care of it. They walked around with that little baby. They wanted that little baby so much. And I tell you what, that they had to go to the grocery store and they had to leave it with the husband or they had to leave it with the wife. They got back as quickly as they could so they could take care of that little baby because that little baby was the desire of their heart. I'm almost ready to preach here, and this is, it's not in my notes. It's just God's heart right now. And you take care of that little baby. And then on the other hand, you get people who didn't desire their little baby. They couldn't have cared less about it. And it's malnourished. They could have fed it. They don't. If they're dirty, they could have taken care of it, but they don't. Are you listening to me? I mean, when you desire something, you nurture that thing. You raise it up on the inside of you. And desiring things from God is no different. If you want your healing, then you're going to nurture that seed on the inside of your spirit, glory to God. You're going to take the Word and you're going to speak the Word over yourself every single day, every single morning, every single afternoon, and every single night. If you desire prosperity, you're going to get into the Word and get it, glory to God.
Tell me, Lord, if you want to do it.
God wants to make sure you desire to get it as much as He desires to give it. Verse 52, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. All in the context of healing, but we're going for this line right here. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. That's not a literal hour, but this is your time. This is the time of the power of darkness to move. The word power here is the word exousia, or exousia, depending on which part of Greece you're from, depending on which part of Oklahoma you're from. Exousia. And exousia is most often translated as power in the King James Bible. But a better definition is authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Say it again, authority.
Authority.
Jesus is saying, this is your hour, this is the moment that you can move, and this is the moment of the authority of darkness. Say it again, authority.
Authority.
Glory to God. Now, you'll have to understand something about Jesus. Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Ghost. He walked in complete and total righteousness. And the devil did not have access to Jesus until Jesus gave him access to him. Now let's just look at some scriptures because it has something to do with us also. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew, the 21st chapter. We're looking at the sayings of Jesus. And the saying of Jesus is this, that you're going to have, this is your hour, the authority of darkness. Chapter 21. Oh, excuse me, chapter 26. Sorry, can't read my writing there. Verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now, this is the same situation, but we just have a little more information on this in Matthew. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, And he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Jesus was saying, when they pulled out the swords, he was telling them, I could call on 12 legions of angels and be delivered out of this, but scripture must be fulfilled, and that is the giving of his life. Glory be unto God. But I want you to see something. Darkness had no power over Jesus until Jesus gave darkness power. Remember that, because it's very important for you also. Go with me, if you would please, to John the 10th chapter. John the 10th chapter, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Now, who lays down his life? Jesus lays down his life. Notice verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus is saying, no man can kill me. The only way I die is if I say, okay, I will to die right now. Darkness had no power over him until he gave darkness power. And that power, remember, is exousia. Luke 4, if you would please. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth. And notice what it says after he had gotten up and read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, said, this day are these scriptures fulfilled in your ears. Verse 28, this was the response. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. You think if Jesus was preaching the scriptures that people wouldn't get mad. And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. So they took Jesus up and they were going to chuck him off the hill, but Jesus just passed right through the midst of them and they couldn't touch him. Why? Because they had no authority over him. They had no power over him. This man walked in the power of the Holy Ghost, walked in the power of his identity with the God Almighty. He knew who he was. That's one thing that blew them away. Jesus said, I know who I am, I know whence I come, and I know where I'm going. He knew the plan for his life. It's up to us to learn the plan for our life, to know who we are, to know whence we came, and to know where we're going. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who are you? You're the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. Whence did you come? You came from heaven, my brothers and sisters, because your citizenship is not of this earth, it's of heaven. And we know where we're going. Everything's going to take a circle. We're going up, glory be unto God. As the psalmist of old wrote, not real old, like in the 30s probably, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. So get used to it. Glory be unto God. It gets better than this. Hallelujah. Far better. There's more in store, as the Lord said, isn't it? They couldn't kill him. Until Jesus says it's time, they couldn't kill him. Now go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. Well, what's this got to do with my healing? Hold on. Some things we just can't jump into. We got to lay foundation. So we're building the foundation, glory to God. It was just the time period when he had released, by the direction of the Father, he had released the authority of darkness to have its way with him. Now look at Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. And God said, Elohim, Elohim said, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yud Mem on the end of any word is plural in Hebrew, and that's how it appears in Elohim. And God said, let us, that's plural, let us make man in our, that is to, in our image after our likeness. And what was his image? Well, he was spirit, we saw. He God's spirit, but God is a God of authority, and the devil can't have his way with God.
Amen.
Now get that. What Jesus said he beheld Satan like lightning falling from heaven. In other words, God drop-kicked him out. Kaboom! And Jesus beheld him falling like lightning to the earth. He couldn't hold up to God. Now God, glory be unto the Lord, is creating us in his image of this power. And he says, make man in our image after our likeness, after our similitude, and let them, man, have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion is rule, my brothers and sisters. It is rule. It is authority. Everybody say authority. God created man to have authority. Just like Jesus walked the earth with authority, Adam was created, placed on this earth. He walked the earth with authority. He had rule over this earth. He had dominion over this earth. And then he fell. That was the problem. And something happened. He handed the dominion to Satan, and he became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 4 says. But oh, glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Colossians, the 1st chapter. We don't have time to spend a lot of time on it. Adam and Eve transgressed. Man fell. Satan took the authority in this earth realm. But I want you to notice something. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Everybody say saints in light, if you would please.
Saints.
Who hath delivered us. Everybody say hath delivered.
Hath.
What tense is hath? Past tense. It's already taken place. English 101. Who hath delivered us from the power, the word power is exousia, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now I want you to notice what happens, making a very long story short. A 4,000 year story, a 6,000 year story we're making really short. No, 4,000 years up to the death of Jesus. Here it is. Man lived in darkness. Jesus came and died on the tree, went to hell. There, because Satan had no legal authority to keep him because he had done no sin himself. He was there with our sin. There was no legal authority to keep him. Jesus stripped from Satan the authority. Jesus rose victoriously. And when he raised from the dead, something happened. Glory be unto God. He delivered us out from under the authority of darkness. Darkness, Satan has no authority over the church of the living God. Now, Satan still has authority over those who walk in darkness, but we're going to spend the next 10 minutes showing you that we're not in darkness. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had his hour. His hour's up. Acts 26, if you would, please. When Paul had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul later, preaching, tells what Jesus said to him. Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." This is why he was sent unto the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan unto God. Paul's ministry was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as was given to him by revelation for the ultimate purpose of turning people from darkness, from the authority of darkness, unto the authority of the light. Get this, from the authority of Satan unto God. That's what every minister's job is. That's what every person who is born again and in the body of Christ, that's what we all should be ministering, is to turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan unto God. In other words, Jesus is telling Paul, I have loosed people, if they accept it, from darkness and from the authority of darkness. You say, what's so big about that? There was no sickness and disease till darkness took control. There was no poverty until darkness took control. There was no hurt and pain until darkness took control. There was no ignorance until darkness took control. In fact, when you receive insight and knowledge, it's called light in the Word of God. And when you don't receive it, it's called darkness. Now listen to that, because it's vitally important. All of the curse that we read about in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, all of those terrible things entered into this earth realm when darkness entered into its realm of authority and Satan took the lordship. And remember, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 4th chapter, verse 4, does tell us that Satan is the god of this world. Satan had it handed to him by Adam. Now let's look at another scripture. Well, let's read that once again. Everybody look at it carefully. Here's why he was sent to minister, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan unto God. Hallelujah. He was to turn them from darkness to light. Colossians, the 1st chapter, once again, because we don't want to stray too far from this scripture. Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So the blood of Jesus has taken us from darkness and placed us into light. Darkness has no more authority over us legally.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that? Once you enter the light, Satan and darkness have no more authority over your life. Now I want to show you John, the 1st chapter, the Gospel of John. Praise be unto the Lord. John, the 1st chapter. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The 1st chapter, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 tells us that's Jesus. Verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, That's Jesus, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Jesus came to shed forth light into this realm. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us so that we could be those who are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's an inheritance, and we're partaking of it. Once you move into the light, there's an inheritance that Jesus... Inheritance comes when people die. Jesus died, and he left us, glory to God, an inheritance. Now, the grand thing about it, the Bible tells us this, is most people, when they die, somebody else is the testator of their will. Somebody else is the one who is the advocate and disperses. Jesus, glory to God, raised from the dead. He is the testator of his own will, glory to God. And he makes sure that the distribution of the blessings of the inheritance are made. Folks, there's an inheritance. And part of the inheritance is you are healed. It is your right, glory to God, as a saint in light. Glory be unto God. And darkness cannot keep you from receiving it. Oh, that's good, but we're not through yet. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I don't know about you, but this is doing me good. He was the light that was shining. Satan could do nothing to Jesus because he was the light. Darkness cannot mess with the light. You walk into a dark room, you turn on the light, what leaves? Darkness. Light doesn't leave, dark leaves. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Which tells me that you don't have to walk as children of the light. You can make the choice not to, but he said to do it. Walk as children of the light. Glory to God. Everybody say, I'm a child of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 5, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are the children of light, glory to God. Jesus was light. He is his life is the light of men. We are children of the light. The darkness has no authority over us. I'm going to say it again a little bit louder this time. Darkness has no authority over us unless Adam walked in the light and Adam handed the authority over to Satan. Jesus walked in the light and handed the authority over to Satan to accomplish the will of God so that he could get us back in the standing Adam was in. Glory be unto God. Now you, it's up to us. Are we going to hand the authority back to Satan in our life, or are we going to walk in the authority that we have been loosed to walk in? Glory to God. God has given us authority over sickness and disease. It's time to take it. Glory be unto God. Woo, glory. I said glory. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Maybe I won't go on tomorrow night. My spirit's opening it up to all kinds of things that we could teach. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But you, this is talking to you, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that's a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises, the virtues of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And one of the great virtues, glory to God, is you don't have to be sick like the world's sick. You don't have to be poor like the world's poor. You don't have to be missing stuff like the world in darkness is missing stuff. But you're going to keep missing until you stand up and use your authority and say, Satan, it is enough. You do not rule over me. I am a child of the light. I have authority over you. Now scram in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory be unto God. Ooh. I said, turn with me to Matthew. Oh, yeah, the scriptures are pouring in me now. Matthew. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. The 28th chapter. I want you to get this. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is before he ascended to heaven, after the crucifixion and resurrection. All power, that authority. All, thank you, honey. Preach on, sister. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore. You know what he just did? He just said, the authority's been given to me. I'm giving you the authority. Go ye, therefore. Ooh, and we want. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16 gives us some more insight. Verse 15, go ye. Remember, all authority had been given to him, all authority. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Get it, church. He said, I got the authority. Now he's given us the authority in his name. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, is the way it reads in the Greek text. They shall cast out devils. You know what he just said? I'm giving you authority in my name, and the devils no longer have the authority over you. Now you have the authority over them. And you don't have to get some special gift from heaven. All you got to do is believe it. Glory be unto God. Amen. You got the gift. It's called, you were born in to this kingdom of God, this arena of light, and authority has been handed unto you. And now he's saying, I'm giving you this authority. Go and use it. Use it. And if you believe in my name, you're going to cast out devils. That means you can cast out the works of the devil. You've got sickness in your body? Start using your authority, children of the light. You've got the authority to do it. Look at your body and say, body, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed. You cannot refuse my healing. Glory to God. What darkness brings, the authority of light will drive out. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. I'm almost preaching tonight. Some of you have just been coming. You're used to me just being quiet, aren't you? Hallelujah. God is good. Everybody say it, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name.
They shall cast out devils.
They shall speak with new tongues. The devil can't keep you from speaking in that heavenly language. You know, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been having people come to the church, and some of them have been trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost for years. Well, that ought not be. And some have had trouble. You know, they might have been filled with the Spirit, and they got like 3 words. Well, that not be. And they came up here, and they just get filled with the Spirit like that. Folks, the devil can't keep you from speaking with other tongues. I don't know how many times over the years since I've been in the ministry, I have had literally dozens and dozens, a few hundred, I'm sure, people who have been seeking to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and have failed to speak with other tongues, and they come in just like 3 minutes with me and they're speaking in tongues. Well, why is that? Because they got to understand the Lord's given them authority. They can have what they want. They don't have to beg. They don't have to say, oh, I'm going to go home again without this. Satan can't keep you from receiving from God. Hallelujah. That's for somebody here. And then we have people who have been locked into their shandaliosa tongue for about, 10 years. Shandala, 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 rondala, rondala, rondala. Loose it and let it go.
Amen.
I mean, now you think about it. How great a conversation can I have with Brian if all I come up to him and say, hello, my name, hello, my name, hello, my name, hello, my name. Oh, hello, my name, hello, my name, hello, my name. With some things, people think that they're going to have a great conversation, speak divine blueprints, and they only know 3 words. I didn't get too many chuckles on that. So we have people come up every once in a while when the Spirit leads and believe God for release of their tongues and then believe God for new tongues. I mean, faith for spiritual things, not just to get a new suit. It's a spiritual thing. You get people speaking in 3 and 4 different languages. For I think it was 2 or 3 weeks in a row there, had people come up and they got a new language every time they came. Well, I don't think that could be God. Well, he said you're going to speak with the tongues, plural, of men and of angels. Speak with a tongue, and it has to be a shandala tongue. If you've got a shandala tongue, I'm not making fun of you, but there's more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can do that. Yeah, Brother Brian, that's you can do it. Certainly, but by the Holy Ghost, you release your faith. The Holy Ghost will go. He just goes, finally. Finally. I've been sitting here listening to this for years, and he said, finally, I can say something else through him. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. I was preaching in Southern California one time, and I don't know, we had, 60, 70 people come up that were locked into their little tongue. Before it was over, every one of them was speaking in more than one unknown tongue. And not just getting another, replacing shandala with hugada, I don't know. I mean, glory to God, it was like rivers of living water flowing out of those people. Hallelujah. If you don't dance before God, you ought to try it. It'll loose you up a little bit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They shall take up serpents. That means if something happens to lock onto you that's not good and try to bring sickness and disease on your life, if that old snake tries to kook on you, glory to God, you just now shake it off like Paul did and go on with your life. It's not talking about the people in the hills of Kentucky that are bringing snakes into the church services. Again, I was watching on Discovery Channel many months ago, they were doing a special on those churches. They had one guy that's been bitten by a snake like 89 times, and his fingers are all swollen up, and he can barely move because he's had so much venom in him. I said, man, that's not how you get close to God. just come to my church for a second. Let's get this straightened out. Glory to God. Ooh. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's too wild. That's not what he's talking about. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's I'm sure there's a church someplace that started where they're drinking poisons and stuff. It's not what it's talking about. If you happen into this stuff and you happen to get a hold of it, I mean, it's like Brian just said, it's a whole sermon on tempting God.
Hey, I think I'm going to jump off this building just to see if God will catch me. He won't, you're going to smack.
But if you happen to step off the building and you're standing in the light, glory to God, of the Word, you'll just float. Oh, I could really mess around with your minds now, but I won't, glory to God, because some of you go, I'm not coming back tomorrow night. Hallelujah. I got a few stories of my own, but I won't be sharing them tonight. Glory to God. Now look at this. And then it gets down to this. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now this one you do initiate.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Well, if it happens to me, you know, by mistake, then God will see me through it.
No, this one you clamp the hands on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus has given me authority. Because I walk in the light. 1 John 1. You can say that too. Glory to God. Everybody, 1 John 1. We don't want her being out there by herself. Glory to God. We're a family. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Verse 5, chapter 1. You're going to have a hard time finding a preacher happier. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you. Here's the message. John is declaring the message of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You want the message? Here's the message. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. You want the message that Jesus was delivering to the earth by God speaking through him? I am light. Everything I do is light. And everything I destroy is darkness. And we have gone through Matthew and Luke for 23 days looking at one aspect of darkness, and that's sickness and disease. And Jesus, the message was, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Hallelujah.
So when he eliminated and annihilated sickness, disease, and lack of any fashion in the body, he was saying, that's darkness, I'm light, it's got to leave, I'm staying. Oh my God, my Lord in heaven. Goodness, you want the message? That's the message. Anything you see me wiping out, that's dark.
Hallelujah.
How the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can get anything different than that, I have no clue. If our bodies are lacking, light destroys it. Because authority, darkness has no more authority. Well, why is sickness still in my body? We're going to get to that. Glory be unto God. Maybe next Monday. No, we're going to get to it before that. Everybody, now look at that. 1 John, again, I got preaching. Verse 5, you know, if I had notes on everything I preached tonight, it'd be like 50 pages of notes. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you can still walk in darkness. And I'm going to show you one area of darkness that we are always trying to eliminate out of our life that will change everything else in our life. In just a moment, I'm going to share that with you. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Our church was named out of this passage of Scripture. God is light, we're the church, and together we have fellowship. But that was too big to get on the business cards. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what keeps us in the light. When you walk to the full, when you're making your strides to walk in God, and you're diligently pursuing it, and you're walking in the truths that you have, the agent of the blood is being imparted to you, scrubbing up all of those places that you might be missing it, that you didn't know about. Because you're diligently following after God, he's cleaning the path after you. Oh, are you listening? It's like you being diligent at home to to clean the house, to keep everything straight. But there are those cobwebs that you didn't know about that were underneath the couch. There was that little bit of dust that had collected in the back of the VCR, in the VCR holder. I want you to get this picture. You do everything you do to keep your house, and all of those other places that you didn't know about, God goes in and dusts them off for you. That's what our life is. When we're doing all we can do to follow after God, when we're doing all that we can do to get into the Word of God and to get more Word and to get more that we can walk by, to get more light exposed to us, then the Lord, when we've done all that we can do, He's just coming in like the housekeeper, and He's just dusting all the places that you can't see and you didn't know about. He's using His blood to clean them all up. Now, that's a spiritual thing. Don't think He's going to go into your house and do your dusting for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I felt like I needed to explain that for some reason. I don't know why. 1 John 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You can go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, on your own, verse 4 through 8, preferably in the Amplified Bible, and read about love. Somehow get a printing of that, tape it someplace, and go over it. Well, because I don't know if I'm going to have time to speak on one of the most important things, and that's love for your healing. If you are in strife with everybody, kiss your healing goodbye. But here's 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4 through 8 on the Amplified Bible. That way you can get the tape if you don't have an Amplified Bible and jot it down off the tape. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. None whatsoever does the love of God. Wow. Pretty well sums it up. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I'm going to close that now because I could go off and preach on it, and that's not what I need to do right now. But you need to, if you don't have an Amplified Bible, you could go to Walmart and get you one for real cheap, just one of the little paperback ones. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 8. Underline it. Rip the page out if it's a cheap Bible. Magnet it to your refrigerator and meditate on it constantly. Because faith worketh by love, and love keeps us in the light. Aren't you glad? Now, we're in the light. We've been removed out from under the authority of darkness. Go with me to Luke 10. He was preaching this to the Old Covenant saints, but if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us after the redemptive work of Jesus. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, are you there? Chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Is that close? Behold, I give unto you authority, power. Everybody say authority. Authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. Everybody say power. Power. That word power is not authority. It's not exousia. It's dunamis in Greek. It's very important that you understand that. Satan has no authority unless you give it to him. But he does have power. Dunamis is this. It's where we get the English word dynamite. Dunamis, I've always defined this way ever since my first sermon I ever preached on it. It just came to me, and I've stuck with it because it's good. Dunamis is all the necessary ingredients to cause a manifestation. A piece of dynamite has all of the ingredients to cause a manifestation. It's not the manifestation. I can carry dynamite around right now, and it doesn't hurt. Until I use my authority to light the dynamite, and I make the decision, I'm going to light it, and I strike the match. Then when it explodes, that is kratos. That is another Greek word for power. All three are translated as power in the New Testament. And so we have this situation that the devil has power. He just has no authority to light the power. We are the ones who give him authority. We use our authority to light his power. And we do that in a multitude of different ways. Hosea tells us this in chapter 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Just being ignorant of the Word of God will allow Satan to do things in your life.
Amen.
Glory to God. Walking out of love, you're using your authority. One of the great ways, and we don't have time to spend on it, but one of the great ways to allow him to use his dunamis power is by the confession of our mouth. He will act on our confession. If we go around all the time saying it's never going to change, there's little bombs going off in the spirit realm. It's never going to change. I'm sick now. I'll be sick tomorrow. I think I'm coming down with something. Well, why do you think that? Why can't you just say, I'm coming down with a healing? It's cold and flu season. Who says? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You see people lining up for the cold and flu shots, or their flu shots. I line up with the Word.
Amen.
You have to live where your faith's at, but there's something better. I said there's something better.
Amen.
Glory be unto God. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Always a type of the demons and Satan. Always through here. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Notice these next words, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is God saying that through Jesus. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you walk in the authority of the children of light, things aren't going to hurt you. Sickness and disease won't hurt you. Poverty won't hurt you. Well, I just don't believe I can accept that as the truth. Just keep coming. And the more you hear it, the more you'll accept it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't just scrub years of wrong teaching out of people's brains. Now turn with me, if you would please, to 1 John chapter 2 again. And we're going to try to close this out. I can see I could go another 2 weeks on this, but we don't have the time to do it. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth. Now notice these next words. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Darkness blinds eyes. Now we're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about the eyes of your spirit. And if darkness blinds our eyes as believers, then we're not going to walk in our authority. Now let's look at another scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I know I've quoted it once or twice tonight already. So let's just read it or look at it so you know that I'm telling you the truth. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now, verse 3, better place to start. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, remember 1 John 2. You can stay there. I'll just read it to you out of 1 John 2. Glory to God. It says, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. This says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Darkness comes from Satan to keep the light of the gospel from shining into folks. But when the light of the gospel shines in, and you begin to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, darkness dissipates. The reason why children of the light, legally we are children of the light, but we have to know that we're children of the light. Here's an example. Have you ever taken money and you folded up the money? Maybe it was a $100 bill. And you, well, I'll say a $50 bill. Most people don't forget the $100. You wad up the $50 bill and you poke it back in your wallet, your billfold, your money purse, whatever the case. You're going to tuck it away and hide it away. And you go about your business and you get caught up in things. And then some more money comes to you. You know, you go cash your check and you put that money in there. And you go and you buy and you do things. And then some more money comes and you put it in there. And as time goes on, you forget that that money is hidden away back there. Now, I've done it. It's been hidden away. Someone gave me 10 brand new $100 bills one time. And I said, I'm going to keep one of those $100 bills back, and I hid it back there. Well, you know, you pay tithes and you sow, you give on top of that. But then we were getting ready to go on a trip, and so we were just doing stuff out of that money instead of going to the bank and getting it, you know, and all that. Well, we got down to the end of it, and we came back home, and we were doing that. And I don't know, it was about 2 months later. I was telling Richard, no, we need to check out some money. We checked out some money, and so we went through it, and then I found that money back there in the back that I'd forgotten about. Well, that's just kind of the same way it is with the things of God. Some people have things hidden away that they have no clues in there. They have no clue, and you can't spend it if you don't know it's in there. I said, you can't spend it if you don't know what's in there. I said, you can't spend it unless you know what's in there. If you don't have the light on healing, you'll never use healing, the healing scriptures, to get your healing. You'll go through life and you'll go into heaven if you're born again, but you don't have to go through sick and you don't have to go through poor. And you don't have to go through confused and goofy. I mean, you don't have to go through life being concerned about tomorrow. Oh, I tell you what, that's a blessing right there. Now notice that the light of the glorious gospel. So the entrance of the Word of God to us, I am dispensing light tonight. I'm giving light. And you receive, so the Word's coming forth from my lips, from my spirit that's anointed by the Holy Ghost, and those words are coming out, and I'm dispensing light unto you. If you'll grab a hold of that light, glory to God, and act on it, it's knowledge. Light is knowledge. In fact, you can go with me in the last scripture I think we'll go to tonight, in Ephesians, the first chapter. Oh, I've got to read this out of the Amplified Bible. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, go get one. Hallelujah. I don't know what Sister Gloria Copeland would do without her Amplified Bible. Glory to God. Notice this prayer that the Apostle Paul's praying for the church. So this prayer can be prayed for us. I pray this prayer for me, and I pray this prayer for you. A lot. For I always pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. Verse 18, this is where I'm going. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set-apart ones. Now notice what he prayed, as it's translated in the Amplified. We have the eyes of our heart flooded with light. That's information, to know what belongs to us. Glory be unto God. I like what it says on down. He wants us a revelation of the power. Oh, I got to preach that. I got the Amplified. I'm a preacher. I got to preach it. Notice this. He wants us to have this insight. Verse 19. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe. That power is the word dunamis. That's the dunamis. It's Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, dunamis. And they shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon them. Okay? That's that dunamis. It's the same dunamis of the working of miracles in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The working of dunamis, the working of powers. Glory to God. How does He work miracles amongst? That's the power. Now notice what it says. Oh, listen. Everybody just look right up here at me. Listen. I mean, this is like honey. This is like honey dripping from the lips of the Master right here. Now listen, not that Master, Jesus. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe. This dunamis dynamite powers on the inside of me. Everything I need for a manifestation is in me, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. Now, He wanted to demonstrate this power to us. And how did He demonstrate this power? He drew us a picture. He says, Brian Smith, I want to draw you a picture of the kind of power that you have residing inside of you, born-again, Spirit-filled believer. And he says, so I'm going to draw you a picture. What happens when that explodes? It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that's what you've got in you and working for you. Now, come on now. Come on. God didn't leave us powerless. You have power over sickness and disease. And God said, Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with light, that we would get knowledge of this, of the power that works in us and for us, on our behalf. So I'm going to demonstrate that to you, church, God said. I am going to cause an explosion. The word power there is the word kratos. It is the demonstration, the explosion of God's power. And you're going to be able to see it explode because it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's what's in you. That's what works for you. This is not a weak Christianity we have. This is a power-filled Christianity. This is the resurrection Christianity. Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter, says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Just go over there and get your eyes planted on it. Romans 8, verse 11. I'm sorry, it was not the last scripture. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That same power of the Holy Ghost that came on us in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, and Acts 2, 4, that same power is what raised Christ from the dead. He lives in me. He lives in me. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies. That power that got Christ Jesus' body raised from the dead in glory lives in me to do something with my physical body. As a child of the light, and I am dispensing more light tonight to you, as a child of the light, that Holy Spirit is making alive everything in this body that has been touched by Satan's death. If sickness is reigning in my body, if skin rashes are reigning in my body, if warts, if cancer, if flu, if tuberculosis, if you're missing body parts, if they've cut stuff out of you that shouldn't have been, God's power will make it alive on the inside of me and raise up my physical body. We got people that have, I don't know if here, because the Lord's not showing me, people that have gallbladders removed, people that have a kidney removed. Well, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me to make alive this body. You cannot take healing out of the Bible. 23 days. And we have looked primarily at two books out of the Bible. And we have filled over 30 hours of teaching. And folks, we could go on, I know, another 5 months and basically never repeat a sermon. It is through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. God wants us well. We have authority over the devil. He has not the authority to keep us sick or missing.
That's right.
He has not the authority.